Well, Proverbs 15, verse 21 says, "Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly." So you've got folly being joy. Folly, people who actually delight in doing things that are against God's word. I'm sure we've all fell victim to this. But it's showing that we don't have wisdom in that situation. I'll read you a verse again. I read it to you a few times. But in Proverbs 2:14, it speaks of those who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of wickedness. The thing is, with the conscience, is you can sear your conscience and get to the point where you actually enjoy doing things that are against God. That's the thing here. It says folly is joy. They don't get joy from the Lord. They get their joy from the things of the world that are against God. So you know why that people continue in that thing all the time? You know why the alcoholic continues to have another drink, have to have another. Because the Lord is everlasting. All right. So if you get your joy from the Lord, you can always go get. It's always available. Well, the things of this world let you down. So what happens is you constantly, because you can't have enough, and the Bible says the flesh is never satisfied. So what happens is it becomes a joy to you, so you have to sear your conscience. And so many people have seared their conscience. That's why they actually get a enjoyment out of going against God, because they're always looking for that next fix, constantly. But now once you find the Lord, if you'll notice over there in John 4, that woman, she was thirsty. It was in midday. She wanted her water pot, full of water. All right, whenever she met Jesus, though, after she got done talking with him, she left her water pot. You can read it. And she went and told everybody about Jesus. Why? She left off her physical thirst, and she got her spiritual thirst fulfilled. And I'm going to tell you something. People think, well, you know, and you do have to have your physical needs met. But your physical needs are nowhere near as important once you get your spiritual needs met. And if you've got your spiritual need, that's how you can take Paul. He can be content in a prison cell after being whipped and beaten and left there. He can be content in that state. Why? Because he had the Lord Jesus. So you've got that thing there. So folly. All right. And verse 22 says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Now, counsel. Let me show you who your counselor is. Psalm 119. Do you know it says in the multitude? I'm gonna read that verse again. It says, "In the multitude of counselors, they are established." So, if you've got now, don't get me wrong. We're gonna look at some folks who had bad counselors. You know, you can have some bad counselors. You can have some folks give you bad advice. But now we've got the words of the living God right here. And what's interesting, in Psalm 119, verse 24, it says this, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Why? You got a bunch of them. Bunch of testimonies. Not just a few. You see, these right here, if you want to get some good counselors, get in that. There's your counselors. Now another thing too, if you want to find some good counselors, folks who are in that word and studying that word and prayed up, they'll give you good counsel. But what happens is that folks most time don't want that. Why? Because most people want what they want to hear. So oftentimes they will go to somebody who they know will agree with them instead of. Hey, I tell you, sometimes you get some of your best advice by going to somebody you know is probably not going to agree with you, and just see both sides of the thing. Hey, I tell you, and I'm learning this now. You ask a kid a lot of times, they give you an honest answer. And why? Because see, they hadn't learned that. Well, I need to kind of. I don't want to be mean on this kid. Just say, you know. And I've learned some things, man. You can get some. Sometimes cut you down to the bone. I mean, but it's the truth. Is the truth. Well, one thing we have got to work on that'll help us all. Never get to the point where you are scared of the truth, because then you'll begin to get blind. It's like that story. I think Shiloh's got it in one of her books. But this king, he had these people making these robes for him and everything. Well, this one man said, "Hey, I'm making an invisible robe, invisible clothes." And he said, what? So anyway, he's walking around, and everybody's scared to say anything to the king. The king says, look at my clothes, look at my clothes. And so this little boy comes up, and he said, the king is altogether naked. Yeah. You know, it's the whole story. He says like that. Well, the kid told it like it was. Everybody else was scared. So never get to where, because I can tell you, there are people who just won't tell you the truth. It's not that they don't care, but they don't care. A lot of folks care enough about you to tell you the truth. And so you got that thing going on in counsel. That's why I am in love with this book right here. I tell you why. Because that book is going to tell me how it is, no matter how I feel, what it's going to give me the truth and lay it right down there. And I like it. So you got the multitude of counselors. Now I'm going to show you some. Look at Isaiah 30. This is one reason. I'm just showing you reasons why you got to have this counsel. And don't forget it. You wonder why you got so many people who are on that wrong. We say, man, they're on a bad road. I mean, I know a lot of folks are just on a bad road. And you look at Isaiah 30 verse 1, it says, woe. Now, when you see a woe in the Word of God, it means you better stop. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. See, they take counsel, but not of me. Alright, so they take counsel, and it says they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. So see, you can go by a different spirit and then the Holy Spirit, that they may add to sin. Now somebody very wise gave me this little outline right here. I hadn't had a chance to preach it, but you know what new perversions of the Bible do? Right there in that verse it says they take counsel. And then they take from the words of God. Number two, they cover. And number three, they add. They take, they cover, and they add. That's pretty good, ain't it? I like that. That's pretty good. So I like that, and that's right there. But that's what they do, is they don't ask counsel from the Lord. Let me show you the danger in that. I'll show you the deception here. Look over in your Bible in Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. I'm embarrassed sometimes, and probably I should be more often than what I really. But it's how easy I can be deceived by my own self if I don't watch it. You know, you have to constantly watch yourself. What, you will deceive yourself. All right, so let me show you something here. Judges chapter 9. Y'all know that that. Hold on a minute. Let me see here. Was it Judges 9? I think it may have been Joshua. No, let's see. Turn to Joshua. I scribble error right there in my Bible. I got to fix that when I get home. Joshua 9. Yeah. All right. Now what you have is, you got Joshua and them. Now, I'm telling you, Joshua was awesome. I mean, you read his battles, he was awesome. But the thing is, as good as he was, every man in this Bible, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, has got a flaw somewhere. You take Daniel, as much as good it was said about Daniel, guess what he done? When Nebuchadnezzar, after he gave an interpretation of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar fell down to worship him, and he didn't rebuke him, did he? You see, he even Daniel had a flaw. Will you imagine that? He done took Joshua 9. So all of them got flawed, but now, this man, Joshua, as wise as he was, watch how he messed up. You know, we go to the counselor, the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah, I believe it's 7:9, he's wonderful. He's counselor, Almighty God. All right, so this is what they did. They had these people in Joshua 9. It says that they came to him. And let's look at, let's see. Probably need to start reading in about verse 11. It says, wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey and go to meet them. Because Joshua and them was whipping everybody. So these people, let me just back up to verse 8. It says, and they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants, these people who've came to him. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence came ye? All right, so he's saying, "Who are you? Where are you come from?" Verse 9. And they said unto him, "From a very far country, thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord." See how they do? They're flattering him. "Thy servants already, the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt." Now, I'm not going to get my Bible map out right now, but if you look at where these folks come from, I checked it one time, it's about 19 miles. Yeah, all right, so and I looked at, now they said a very far country, so they're lying. So you got some liars coming up to a man of God here. Watch how he makes a mistake. He's been wise this whole time, won all his battles, done all this stuff. Watch this. "Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants in our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us." Uh-oh, they say they want to make a league with them. "This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy." Man, they deceived them. They took bread and they got moldy bread and made out like they'd been on the travel so far. That's the level they went to. They wore old clothes and they deceived. Well, that's what the devil does. See, the devil makes you think he's something he's not. You know what the thing about the devil is? He's going to come to you in the form of the thing that would deceive you. That's what he does.
That's why we have to be careful of who we show pity in.
That's right. That's right. You take some of these homeless folks, and you know, that one guy in New York, his full-time job, he would make out like he was homeless. He'd go sit down and have that cup all day long. He'd fill that thing up. And what he'd do is he'd put it in a bigger thing, and it would look like it was always empty. And then he'd go home. They see he walked, you know, a mile or so down the road, get in his vehicle and go home. And he done made him, you know, $700 a day. I think, is that the one that made 100? Y'all, you've got folks, that was his job. He made more than the average person deceiving people. Tax-free money. Yeah, I'm telling you. That's right. What? It was tax-free, wasn't sin-free. That's right. That's right. But that's what you're up against. Now look right here. Now, verse 13, "And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent." See, they're trying to prove. You have to watch out, folks, who's always trying to prove all this stuff. Hey, if you're doing right, you ain't got to prove it no way. Just let the evidence speak for itself. It says, "And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey." Now, you would think that Joshua would say, why are they having to prove to us how long they've been on this journey and everything? Well, if it was so, it was so. All right, well, watch what he did. Verse 14, this is how Joshua and them messed up, or his men. "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." Now, ain't that something? That's how they got to see. They end up getting a pact with them, and with his Gibeonites and everything else, making a league with them, and it just became a mess, to say the least. You can read the story. But I said that to say this. You if you don't get the right counsel, you can actually be deceived, and the thing is, that's why we need to ask God about everything. That's why he says, "Cast all your cares on me." That way, hey, if nothing else, I can tell you something. I believe that I've prayed things, "Lord, lead me in the right way," and I believe he's blocked me from going the way that I wanted to go. Why? Because he knew I didn't need that way. The Bible says he'll supply all your, my God shall supply all my needs according. He didn't say wants, he said needs. And see, that's the thing that I have to constantly tell my own self, "Lord, thank you for blocking me from me," because, man, a lot of times I would make a big mistake. So ask counsel of God, and you'll get the better advice. So we need a multitude of counselors. And don't be afraid to ask advice of folks who you know who's following the Lord, because we don't mind that. But now you take this world out here, they'll go to the world. Hey, and I know we've all Googled things probably, but man, you have to watch. You know, it's like at one, what was that thing? I wish I could teach, so funny. But anyway, this guy got fooled, and he was doing something just off the wall crazy. And that man said, "Why is he doing that? What makes you think that's so?" He said, "The internet said it." Well, y'all, that internet ain't right on everything. I mean, man. It's lies out there, man. If folks think just because it's on the internet is so, it's not. And so counsel of the Lord. Verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? I don't think we put enough emphasis on how important our words are. I'm telling you something. Encouragement. Not flattery. See, encouragement is great. Great, great. But not flattery. Encouragement in the right time, in the right season. So at the right time, a word of encouragement goes so far. I'm going to tell you. I know it builds me up. I've had y'all encourage me and stuff like that. And the thing is, that's what we do. We try to lift one another up when we're down, because sometimes one be down, other than up. That other one that was up may be down later. And so you have to constantly... But that word spoken, and man, you know what? You get joy from it. You know, a lot of times we could use our words to help others and things like that, and instead of drag them down. And you'll get joy by using your mouth right. And it says joy comes out of that thing. It says in verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Now, Ephesians 4 verse 9, and we're going to look at two things here, hell beneath. Anybody in here knows it, but if I ask you, where's hell at? You say, damn. You know, a lot of people think that hell is just a state of mind. They really do. One man was witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness or somebody, one of those cult members, and the guy said, hell is just a state of mind. And the guy said, well, that rich man that went to hell over in Luke 16, he couldn't get away from his state of mind. Yeah, and that guy said, well, that's a parable. Well, Ezekiel said he knew they was going to be speaking parables. And saying he's going to be preaching about hell. And Ezekiel said, well, why do they speak in parables? Well, it's not no parable. And it's not a state of mind, man. It's real. But y'all will be surprised at the folks who think that this hell is just a state of mind. That's in hell beneath. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9, people say, how do you know there was compartments down here? Well, for one thing, we know one man went to paradise, one man went to hell. But also, if you look at Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse 9, it says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first. Now watch this. The lower parts of the earth. Now let me show you another one. Look at Ezekiel. Should be Ezekiel should be 26. Lower parts of the earth. Ezekiel 26. I got it marked if I can run past it here. Yeah, here it is. Ezekiel 26:20. Now this is all through Ezekiel, but this is just one of the best ones I know of. Ezekiel 26:20. I'll wait till everybody's there if I want you to see this. Good to have it marked in your Bible if you can. That way you can kind of, because there's a lot of folks, man, they don't know where hell. Some people think, I read somewhere one time, one man thought the sun was hell. Well, man, it's in the earth. And the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself and things like that. All right, verse 20. When I shall bring thee down with them that descend, see, some descend into the pit. All right, with the people of old time. See, there was old time. Remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They went down to the pit in Numbers. Alive and quick into the pit, it said. And shall set thee in the lower parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down, that's down below our feet, to the pit, that shall not be inhabited, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. You see there? Man, it's down. All right, now you... Oh, I'm sorry, Ezekiel 26:20. But... it's down in the pit. Now, there's a thing you can probably look up, and here's another thing, we're talking about the internet, but if you want to study some, it's called the hollow earth theory. Alright, the hollow earth theory. So what you have is,
is you've got basically, and it would make sense that, do you know that nobody's been but certain amount down in the ground? Most the scientists, they don't know what's very far. They don't know much about the inside of our earth at all. Most of it's all guesswork. But we've got the Bible. But now the hollow earth theory basically states that a man named Admiral Byrd went up here one time at this thing, and there's things, openings on this thing, one end to the other. But basically, on the inside of this earth, below this surface down here, you got the core of that thing being a fire. We know science said we know there's fire down there because the magma builds up, and that's where all this magma comes from, and then comes up from your volcanoes and things. So we know that there's lava down in the earth. It's heat down there. It's hot. All right, but then there's a place down there where there's they say there's, it's like compartments down in there. More than, you know, some of these guys who study this thing, it's like it's compartments down there. Well, guess what? The Bible says that in Isaiah that the devil would have to go down to the sides of the pit. All right, so how, if you get thrown in a pit, if you were to get thrown in that thing, and how would it not have no end? You know, some at the bottomless pit. How would a pit not have a bottom? Well, it could have sides, but if the thing was circle like this right here, if the pit was circle like this right here, and as the earth is spinning, you would never, it would be like you was always falling, because you'd be falling like this right here. You would never hit bottom, because you're in a pit that does not have a bottom on there. It's a bottomless pit. Why? You'd just be falling like this right here all the time. If that earth is turning like this, you're just in that pit just falling like that. And you could be in the bottomless pit, and then see, he's got compartments. Someone could be in his side, someone be in this prison over here. Remember, he said he went and preached to the prison. That would make sense on how he's got compartments in there. I'll tell you something. He said in the Old Testament there, when the rich man died, the Bible says he was carried down or in hell. All right, well, you got Lazarus. The Bible said the angels carried him. Well, you got the Lord got that thing worked out where who's supposed to go, where they supposed to go, and exactly how all of it is, I'm not sure, but I know that the Bible says there's lower parts. So there's different parts in the earth. So a lot of that stuff, I'm not saying how much I agree with it. I know one thing, a lot of it's true, because there are parts in the earth. And so we know for sure that there's a hell compartment there, and there was a paradise compartment that's empty now, and there was a gulf in between the two. And so anyway, there's a lot that goes on in that Bible that people could study the thing out, and it's there. That Bible's got all the answers. So I don't claim to know it all, but I know this. That Bible said that they'll go down in the hell beneath, and they'll depart. And so how do you do that? How do you? Well, the way of life is above to the world. We're going to go above. Well, it's the wisest thing you can do is follow the wisest man there's ever been. Jesus said, "A greater than Solomon is here." And the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And I want to lead as many folks there that I can, instead of them having to go that way. Because hell is bad. So that there's a little bit on that. You can look into that later. Back to Proverbs 15:25. The Lord would destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Now, the house, y'all remember, I'm just going to give you these verses because I got something else I want to get to. Matthew 12, I believe it was verse 29. Where Jesus said, no man groweth a strong man unless a stronger than he come in and bind the strong man. Y'all remember reading that? Well, guess what? Jesus is the stronger man. Now, he said, yes, the devil is strong. You better believe he's strong. I tell you how strong he was. Turn in your Bible to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. See, you ever take some of these movies? You ever notice how these movies, they copy the Bible? The movies will build the bad guy up, build him up. Man, here's the bad guy. Man, nobody whips the bad guy. All of a sudden, the hero comes in and whips the bad guy. Well, you know what the Lord does? He'll let you know the devil was pretty powerful and everything. And the Bible, you've been reading through Daniel, it says the Lord come in and destroyed him without a hand.
he didn't have to lay a finger on him, man. Why? Because, yeah, the devil thinks he's tough, but he's nothing. Nothing compared to the Lord. I mean, he's a drop in the bucket as big as this earth, like that right there, compared to the Lord. Probably smaller than that. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Jesus stood up and read this in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Where were they at? That was in captives. It was in the lower parts of the earth, back in Ephesians. Alright? And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. But see, they couldn't come up. They were righteous. They had righteousness that was there available there in the Old Testament before the blood was shed. But see, they were in a prison house. So even though they're in this paradise compartment because the perfect blood had been shed, they couldn't go no further than the blood. So man, Jesus come down and man, the devil's a strong man. He said, you can't come in here and mess with these, right? Now here he comes. Jesus said, no, it's been shed on Calvary. It's done. It's finished. And he comes and gets them. And see, he's stronger than the strong man. Now another thing that you'll find out too that he delivers you from, people were held in bondage according to Hebrews. You know what the lost man's held in bondage to right now? The devil can get him. He's in bondage to death. Alright, death is going to hold them. Do you know that anybody who dies without Christ, death is going to whip them because it's going to hold their body down. But with us, the strong man, we're with the strong man, he breaks the captives free. Jesus Christ, because we're going to say, oh death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? And swallow it up, man. I mean, you look at this thing right here. And so the Lord is able to come in there and whip that strong man, and he destroys the house of the proud. Well, who's the proud? The proud is the devil, man. He pried, I will, 5 times over there in Isaiah 14. So he's Lucifer, the devil, and the Lord's going to destroy that house for good one of these days. And he already done the fatal blow there at Calvary. Alright, so the board of the widow, and I don't know what it is about that Bible, and I hadn't studied it out, but the Lord has got a soft spot for widows. You'll find in that Bible that he talks about the widow over and over and over again, the fatherless and the widows and all this stuff. So the border, he's going to give her, border has to do with land. You know, we say, where was the border at? And all that. Well, he's going to give her something. So a lot of these widows who serve God and things like that, you're going to find out in the millennium, a lot of them are going to have a whole lot of stuff. Because the Lord has a soft spot for the widows and the fatherless. Now what that has to do, I hadn't never studied that out. Verse 26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Now I'm not going to go over all them words, but now y'all should have these verses probably. I know you're familiar with them. But in Psalms 12:6-7, I've got that on my car tag out there. Their truck tag. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. They're pure words. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Proverbs 30:5, it says, the words of the Lord are pure. All His words are pure. David said over, I think in Psalm 140, somewhere like that right there, or Psalm 119, 165, maybe, it says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. You know why I love that Bible right there? Because it's pure. It's the purest thing on earth that we can get. Now, the Holy Spirit is the purest thing that's on earth that you can't touch as far as just touching. So the two purest things on this earth is that Bible and the Holy Spirit. And nothing can touch it. Alright, so the thing is though, the words, alright, of the pure. Alright, and they're pleasant words. And so the Lord tells us how to speak over there in the New Testament. And verse 27 it says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Now, see, the thing is, there's nothing wrong with getting a gift, but I want to show you something. Look at Deuteronomy 16.
You have to be careful
that you never take a gift from a greedy man. If you take a gift from the wrong person, that gift can blind you.
Gift can blind. You have to take, when you take, you make sure you take something from somebody that's godly, because the folks who don't love the Lord and folks who are greedy will try to hold that thing over you. All right, and so look at Deuteronomy 16, and look down there at verse 19. This is a commandment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. You know how you can get your judgment messed up? That's going to say it here in a minute. But he's talking to judges, you know. But we're supposed to judge all things, the Bible said. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. Why? For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. You know what's wrong with most of these corrupt judges we have today? They take gifts and bribes. And you know what it does? It blinds their eyes. You know what happens? Folks take that's how a lot of these candidates and stuff like that, what they do is they get up there, and I think a lot of them mean well. I really do. I think a lot of these folks, I think a lot of them really want to get in and really do something. But what happens is by the time they get in office, they've got so many strings on them, they can't do this and they can't do because they've got to offend that person, they're going to offend that other person, and the guilt has blinded their eyes. Now, we as Christians have to be real careful who we allow gifts from, and is that person greedy? What's the motive? Is that person really wanting to help you, or is that person going to hold that thing over you and say, well, I gave you that, now you need... No, hey, if it's a gift, it's a gift. And that's what we have to remember. So he tells you that. So you hate gifts, you'll live. What he means is gifts like that. Verse 28, this is an important verse. We'll probably close after this. It says, if we have time, the heart of the righteous... Now watch this. Little word. Studieth to answer. You see that? But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Studieth. You know what the new versions take out? They always take out the command to study. You know why? Because they don't want to... Look, I'm just going to be judgment day honest with y'all. I love to read my Bible, but I know you're supposed to read it through, but I get bored with it sometimes. I do. I mean, because I'm human. But you know what you have to do? You have to take a passage out and study it. You know what I try to do? I try to keep about 3 books going all the time. I read a proverb, whatever day it is, I read that proverb. So I'm going to come through the Proverbs 12 times a year. All right? And the Psalms, I'll probably come through the Psalms maybe once or twice a year. But now I try to jump around a little bit in my Bible. And that way those stories are kind of fresh. But you have to study it. Take a thing out and study it. Take one text, a portion out, and just study that thing out a little bit. And study it. Now, the new perversions take that out, and it's important. And so, what verse was that? 29? 28. Alright, here's this New International Perversion says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers. Mm-hmm. See, that's different. That's not studying. Now, why would they do that? Now, I'll tell you what I do. Tell you what I take out. 2 Timothy 2:15. One of these, it's to me, it's not the most important verse. No, you can't have the most important verse. But as far as us, this bearing on us, 2 Timothy 2:15, you know why so much truth, I believe, that y'all hear. As we studied right division, I still got a lot more to learn, but I'm just saying. This thing right here, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Study, study. Why? It's work. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know how I can have a Bible study, but will somebody not be ashamed of it? It's because I can take that Bible, and no matter where I'm at, I can take that thing and say, that says right what it says in the context of who it's talking to, and I don't have to change a thing. I don't have to be ashamed of it. I don't have to go out and say, well, the Greek word says it's wrong because that's unfortunate. I don't have to do none of that. All I have to do is go in there and say, that's exactly what it says, buddy. And you take some of these folks that get over in Hebrews 6 and I say, well, who's it talking to? Well, Hebrew. I'm not a Hebrew. Well, what? You're not a Hebrew? No, because the Bible says, to Pauline epistle, to us who's in the church, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither. He don't make no distinctions in races once you're in Christ. But see, you know you're dealing with a different group. All right, so rightly divide. Look with this at New International. Now you think about that word. International.
What is international? Nations integrating, bring everybody together. New, the Bible says, watch out for something new. Those people are always looking for something new. Stay on the old path. New international version. It's a version. And this thing says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved.
I can't do my best to present myself. I can't do. And you see that thing? They took the command. So that Bible says here, it says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. So we got to study how to answer. Let me show you something about that study and answer. Look at chapter 16, Proverbs 16, verse 1.
Study to answer. So you have to study, because the Bible says over in one of Peter's epistles that we're supposed to study so we can have to give every man an answer for the hope that's in us. So we have to study that thing out, and it's work. That's why a lot of folks, they don't have no confrontation on anything, because y'all, they hadn't been studying. So we have to study so we can answer and help them.
Because there's people out there that want the answers. There's some out there. But it says this, Proverbs 16:1. This is why you're to study. The preparations. Now when you're studying, you're making preparation. Of the heart in man. So guess what you do? If you'll study and you'll prepare your heart, watch what the Lord will do. And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You know what you'll find out? There's been things you'll be reading in that Bible and you'll think, none of that stuff is sticking to me. I ain't learned it. I've read through there, especially 1 Chronicles. None of that stuff stuck to me at all. And then one day all of a sudden it'll come in handy right when I need it. And man, I'm telling you, that's how that thing goes. Why? You study the answer. In the preparation, it'll prepare your heart, and then whenever you get in the situation, the Lord will give you the right answer. Because I'm telling you, there's been things that I've been asked, and I've tried to prepare in my mind. What if they said this? What if they said that? What if they said this? What if they said that? And I didn't know when I got there, and the conversation didn't even go nothing like I thought it was going. The Lord gave me right answers just right there that I needed. And he does that thing. And so, you got to study. Now, we'll go ahead and look at some of these others while we've got 4 minutes. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. You better believe that. And now, in the church age, you got to remember, y'all, we have to stay close fellowship with the Lord. Why? So, man, for our prayer life won't be hindered. Now, the thing is, let me tell you, this is something, a scary thought.
But the Bible says over in Romans 8, The Spirit will intercede for us with groanings that will not be uttered for things that we need. Now, you know what happens? We don't pray every day. Let me tell you, this is what happens. The Holy Spirit knows what you need. And you know what? He hasn't been praying. I'm going to start praying for us. And I'll give him what he needs. Why? To get him back to pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you that thing works. Why? Because if you're not going to pray, the Holy Spirit will pray for you. Mm-hmm. And brother, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit gets his prayer answered. Yeah. He'll come through to Jesus, and Jesus will say, Father, that's what they need. And see, not what they want, what they need. And I'm telling you, I've been told before, I'm going to give you what you need. And buddy, it helped me out. I can tell you. Sometimes the Lord has to give us what we need. You ever had that? You about to get what you need. And buddy, sometimes that thing will come through there. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord has to get our attention. It's an attention getter.
You've been needing this for a while.
You've been needing it. But you know, if it wasn't for the problem, it wouldn't have. Why do you need it? Why? It's going to help you. It's going to help you. And I've heard that. You've been needing this for about a month. I've been putting this off, and you've been needing this for about a month. Needing it? Man, I remember one time I was going to get a whooping. And Mama, I'm going to whip your butt. And she said something like, it's going to hurt me more, it's going to hurt you. And I said, well, don't whip me, neither one of us be hurt. And that's kind of how you want to be with the Lord. But the thing is, y'all, the Lord will give us what we need. And so you have to pray and man, stay in good fellowship with him. Hey, I'll tell you something. Keep short accounts with God. Keep such short accounts with him. As soon as you do something, in your mind say, Lord, forgive me. Right that way you can remember what you did. I'm learning that. Lord, forgive me right now. And that way you keep short accounts with him. Verse 30, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. Now here's a verse y'all go home and look up. Lamentation, they ought to be marked in every Bible. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth mine heart.
Now I'm going to tell you, I'm learning that more and more. The things that we let, the light of the body is the eye, the things that we let into here will affect your heart. Lamentations 3:51. So it told you there, the light of the eyes, rejoice at the heart. Now it says, if you want to get your heart in a rejoiceful mood, well, you let the right thing come through that eye gate. Why? It affects your heart. And so I can tell you, if we were to go home and watch a sad movie, what would do? You'd get sad. When people say, well, what I watch don't affect me. Yes, it does too. You watch something happy, it enters into your eye gate, and that thing processes through your mind, and you get joy out of it. So the light of the body rejoices the heart, and we got to watch what comes in these eyes. Alright, another thing, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Now, that thing has been, Philippians 4, verse 8 tells you, how to think. It says, think on things, whichever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. And it says, good report. Alright, so a good report maketh, I don't know what I did, alright, I had a moment there. Alright, so anyway, a good report maketh the bones fat. Now, I tell you what, you want to get healthy, make sure you get a good report in your mind during the day. Get a good report, man. The thing is oftentimes, we focus on, we're always focusing on, now look how down this is. Look how, I'm bad about it. Hey, why? Because we're prone that way. But we have to remember too, to see what good is in the thing too. We're supposed to be balanced. You're supposed to see the negative, and I'll preach it and I believe it. But you're supposed to see the positive just like you're supposed to see the negative. And so a good report maketh the bones fat. And I can't think of no better report than the gospel. The ear that heareth the reproof of life among the wise, abideth among the wise. So if you'll hear reproof, you'll be wise. You're going to be around wise folks. And that's like your heart of your church comes on Wednesday night. That's just the truth of the matter. The heart of the church. Why? You got to a point where you don't mind hearing reproof. And you know what you'll find out?
You will find out that the more you like being reproved, you'll get to a point where, Lord, as long as you speak to me, I don't care if it's good or bad, just speak to me, Lord. And I'm going to tell you, you'll get to where you don't even mind, or you get to where you kind of like it. Well, that's something else I'm going to get rid of.
And, you'll abide among the wise. All right, and it says this, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. See, you couldn't convince a lost person of that for nothing in this world. You say, well, if you don't like the instruction, Lord, you don't even love your own soul. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. Well, the Bible says you don't. But he that hateth reproof heareth reproof, getteth understanding. You better believe it. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now, you know what? That's your matchmate. The Lord Jesus repeated that thing in Luke 4:11. He tells you over there, if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. But if you'll humble yourself, the Lord... But you know what? You go home and you look up, humble yourselves. Do you know what? God does not have to humble us. He does. We can humble ourselves. There's things that you can do yourself. You know, if you'll humble your own self, God won't have to humble you. Isn't that a blessing? Man, that's a good thing. Well, I would rather humble my own self and say, Lord, I need your help. Why? For him to have to knock me down. And so there's your Proverbs 15. I think the world needs that truth right there. Before honor is humility. Most folks want the honor and not the humility.